Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now a call in with your stories about how you choose between alternative medicine and your doctor's advice, or how you've invented some kind of hybrid approach. 212-433-WNYC. How do you decide whether to follow the directive of your doctor or whether to try an alternative regimen that may be less proven but just might work? 212-433-WNYC. And to be clear, we cannot offer any sort of advice or vouch for any kind of treatment. We really just want hear about how you navigate these conflicts when they come up in your lives and how you've weighed this sort of health decision, which is increasingly common. 212-433-WNYC. And this is inspired by our next guest, who wrote about her experience for the New York Times magazine this past week. And maybe you read it. It's called The Boy with a Thorn in His Joints. She's Susanna Meadows, who normally writes the newly released column about books for The Times. And Susanna, welcome to WNYC.
Oh, thanks for having me, Brian.
So your story is about your son, Shepherd, who has an autoimmune disease called juvenile idiopathic arthritis. When did you get the diagnosis, and how did you first find yourself having to choose between your doctor's advice and some kind of alternative medicine that you weren't sure about?
Well, we got the diagnosis in May, and we liked our rheumatologist. We trusted him and still do. But what happened was we started Shepherd on a course of naproxen, which we're all familiar with. It's like ibuprofen, and it didn't sound it didn't sound that scary to us. It was something we were familiar with, and we thought, great, this is, you know, we're hoping this will work. It's a known anti-inflammatory. And it wasn't until we got to a point of Shepherd's not being able to get out of bed and feeling so bad that the ibuprofen or the naproxen wasn't working, and then we got to a point where we had to give him the methotrexate. And it was at that point where, as a mom, and knowing what the potential side effects could be, and knowing that this is a drug that in much higher doses is given as chemotherapy, and that being on the drug, he would have to get regular blood tests to monitor for toxicity. And it was all these things that sort of led me to a state of I guess it was panic or desperation, and feeling like, oh my, you know, we're looking at potentially giving this drug to our son for his life. He's 3 years old. Who knows what this drug will do to him over a lifetime?
Right. And your original stance toward alternative medicine was, we don't want to waste time talking to a kook, as you wrote it up in the magazine. And then you spoke to someone who had experience with the same kind of disease, who put her son on a concoction rooted in alternative medicine, and you thought you would try it. But just the names, I imagine it would put off somebody who's not alternatively oriented, for Marvel's powder.
Right. Well, sure. I mean, we thought, and as she's going through the list, and I she's a lovely woman, and I realized once I talked to her, obviously she's not a kook. She works in an integrative medicine department at a hospital outside of Chicago, and she had done her homework. But as she's going through this description of, well, try taking him off gluten and try taking him off dairy, and then she gets to the four marvels powder, and I had this moment of like, you know, oh no, because
right.
it sounds ridiculous, but it turns out four marvels powder has been used for 7 centuries in Chinese medicine. So once you learn more about it, you kind of it didn't sound as ridiculous as the name.
Well, let's hear from another listener who went through something like this. Sarah in Chappaqua, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. For 5 years now, I've been in pain. I have a degenerative spine disease, I had three spinal fusions, 3 years running. One of them was a redo because my body rejected the donor bone. I was addicted to painkillers for 18 months. I've been raising two small children this whole time, and I had to give up work. I spent 2 years spending half a day lying down. And since my last surgery, which is 2 years ago, I've been at the hospital for special surgery and had numerous interventional injections, nerve irradiations, Botox, you name it. And after being in pain for 5 years, I got myself off narcotics through a counselor, and I suddenly turned to a friend who was training to be a homeopath, and she started treating me not just for the pain, but also to help flush my body of all the toxins, to give me strength to face the pain. Mm-hmm. I'm also seeing a Chinese masseuse who, it's like acupuncture, but she uses pressure points instead of needles.
Acupressure.
So tired of needles. And I have to be honest, I was really skeptical. I placed my hands I placed my sort of my condition in the hands of these top surgeons. And I'm pain-free for the first time in 5 years.
Amazing story, and I have to go, but I thank you very much for calling up with it, and congratulations. And Susanna, you want to affirm that that we have a board full of callers with stories in one way or another similar to Sarah's and to your son's. Did you experience disdain from conventional doctors when you presented your alternative regimen?
Well, not from our main doctor, but when we sought a second opinion, just to sort of be extra cautious, doing what, not that we doubted our first doctor, but we saw her, and she, as I was sort of going through this description of what we had heard and what may have, you know, what worked for this person we had heard about, and I'm just trying to describe the scenario of leaky gut. I was embarrassed. I felt that she simply said diet does not work, and I did feel I did feel that there, and I think that this comes up a lot, that there maybe is this element of condescension, and you know, we don't, and so maybe it was in my head that I was just, I was afraid of looking like this sort of kooky alternative person, but certainly Charlotte, the other woman I write about in the story, felt that she was being dismissed by her son's rheumatologist, who said the same thing: "Look, this doesn't work. You're taking a risk. I've been doing this a long time, and he needs to go on medication."
And there is a risk, and that's one of the elements of the dilemma, right? Because
I think that's the main. So that's obviously the main thing. Anytime you're treating something, is you're weighing the different risks. And I think that for us, the risk of changing a diet was nothing. So it allowed us to do it. We continued on the medication and did the diet experiment at the same time because it was no risk. So why not? And that it would have been as you say, there is a risk to putting off effective treatment. Absolutely, you're risking stunting growth. You're risking permanent joint damage, and you can't mess around. But when you are just changing a diet in addition to medication, that felt
right.
Very low risk.
So if you did both, how do you know that it was all the alternative?
I absolutely do not know. I don't know. We tried so many things, that including the Four Marvels powder. That actually there have been studies, or a study I was able to find that showed that it is an effective anti-inflammatory. So I don't know what worked, but I do know that when we have given Shepherd gluten accidentally, since he's been in remission. He's felt pain within 24 hours, and the pain sometimes lasts for 2 weeks. So in my mind as a mom, that seems like a clear, that he seems to have a clear issue with that.
Robert in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Robert.
Yes, hi, I guess that's me. I didn't know the, I have psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. And for years, I went to dermatologists and then finally went to a rheumatologist, much like your guest. I didn't know that she was going to discuss this. And he suggested injecting Enbrel, which is now on TV and ads. And I said, why are you taking blood tests? Well, the Enbrel may give you tuberculosis or hepatitis. Well, I heard that, and I thought that we can't do this. So that was my fork in the road, and I had to seek out some kind of alternative way. And I eventually found my way. It took a while, but I found my way to Edgar Cayce's Health Remedies. And there's a book out there called Healing Psoriasis and Healing Psoriatic Arthritis, which is based on Cayce's findings. And it involves very much what your guest is talking about, which is an 80% alkaline diet and 20% acid diet. That means a lot of vegetables and 20% animal protein. Mm-hmm. And the other half of it is right thinking, which consists of doing what you want to do with your life as close as possible to what you want to do with it and being as happy as you possibly can.
Robert, I'm going to leave it there and take another call with another story. Ellen in Manhattan. Hi, Ellen.
Good morning. I am a 70-year-old woman. When I was approximately 30 years old, I've been a lifelong freelance artist, so I have to be very, very healthy. I had a huge problem with sore throats, flu, colds, and I would go to the doctor, and she would blitz it with antibiotics, and it would get well for a little while, and then another round of worse sore throats. And this went on for the best part of a year. And I finally decided these antibiotics are just not working. I wasn't getting well. And some friends recommended I go see a naturopathic doctor. I did. And in his office, I met not only people who had had terrible problems with infections, like my sore throat, but end-stage cancer victims who had gotten well and who had remained well not 5 years, but 20, 30 or more years, and who would come back for a little checkup.
Ellen, I'm going to leave it there. It's a remarkable story, and within a community of people who went from conventional medicine to alternative medicine. And again, the point of this segment is not to endorse any particular kind of medicine or any particular kind of treatment. We're just hearing people's anecdotes. But people are having these kinds of experiences that at least appear real to them, and people who are getting better one way or another after doing certain things. So... Susanna, I guess, you know, maybe the moral of the story is it's very hard to know. There are many different paths to a cure. And, you know, I don't know if people come away from listening to these callers and reading your very emailed article in the Times Magazine more confused or with more clarity.
Well, I think my main takeaway from the whole thing is that it's not as clear as we think, and that I would love to now go to a doctor and have full confidence that the doctor knows everything, or I would love the doctor to know everything. And I think what I've learned is that, and any good doctor will tell you he or she doesn't know everything.
And on our comments page now, I was diagnosed with juvenile arthritis at 15. Alternative methods never helped, but the right Western medicine changed me from being completely debilitated to finally being able to walk again.
Right.
So on one side...
That's the thing, is that there is not a clear answer.
Susanna Meadows' article in the Sunday Times Magazine was The Boy with the Thorn in His Joints. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
You're welcome. Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.